He's with us, Daisy Thomas.
Hello, Daisy.
Yes. No, don't get up. It's fine. It's completely fine.
You've had a massive weekend.
I've had
a
big weekend.
Across four games this weekend.
Three or four games of footy again over the weekends. Had little Junior running around at home again, which is good fun. And
that's a big juggle.
It's been, it has been a big juggle, but it's good.
How's lockdown treating you?
I'm just sort of saying off air that it's weird that I'm almost getting accustomed to it.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think that's obviously a great thing, but as humans, we're pretty good at adapting and just moving and making do with the best of it. So that's what I'm trying to do. And fingers crossed, after a weekend of going out and punching horses in faces and whatnot, like we all did.
It won't be a super spreader
event. Yeah, hopefully we can come out in the next sort of 48 hours.
Lockdown, it does feel like now you're just having a quiet weekend.
Yeah,
it's sort of lost a bit of its meaning.
Yeah, it's lost. It certainly lost the gloss that it did have at the start when we're all doing Jenga and Zoom meetings.
Oh,
and there's 55 different group chats going.
Now, Zooming and drinking with your mates.
Yeah,
all
now
that
if someone
stuff
says, "Yeah, do you want to have a Zoom chat?" You just throw your phone. That's,
I know.
That's triggering.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. I was listening that you couldn't get your 7 Plus going.
No, because I got the wrong sort of telly.
Yeah, see, that's weird because obviously, at the start of the year, we came in and announced that Heeshaw and I had a show that was exclusively on 7 Plus.
Is that right?
Yeah, so I just assumed that that's when you would have got the
7 Plus organised.
Yeah, and watched the shows and
I'm still working on that. I've seen the show. It can't only be on 7 Plus.
Well, there's a few snippets on the Instagram.
But haven't I seen it on telly at halftime or something along those lines?
Yeah, but again, that's not 7 Plus.
And that's not the whole thing.
And that's not the whole thing. That doesn't count as a view.
There's a whole thing happening that I didn't know about.
Yeah, the show.
Right. How long is the show?
It goes for about 23 to 27 minutes.
Let's call it a commercial half hour.
Yeah, let's do that.
Gee willy winkers. Yeah. There's a bit more work in that than I thought.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the lack of intent just to give a crap about my career.
When you've been coming in here talking about it, I thought, God, Daisy's carrying on about little 2 minute bits at half time.
It takes you 5 hours to film that. What is wrong with this guy?
No wonder it's a whole day's work. I'm like, what are these blokes doing?
Oh, no.
I should be knocking this off in an hour.
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, right. I did not realise.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
What caught your eye just quickly before we come back and dig a little deeper?
Well, it was a good round of footy, wasn't it? Lots of big clashes. Your boys again, North Melbourne.
Did you tip them?
I didn't, no. I thought the Blues would have been too good because if the Blues had won that, they could have been a sneaky chance for finals still.
What about Teague now? Well, people are saying that could be the sort of line in the sand.
Well, when there's a review going on and your job's in question full stop, you need everything to go right.
God, it must be an awful place to work with a review going on in the background while you're losing against North. That's a tough Monday, I would have thought.
Correct. Any work environment when there's a review going on, and I'm sure we've all been in them, everyone's just a little bit tighter and tenser, aren't they? And no doubt, looking at the way they played on the weekend, that being the Blues, no doubt that's having an effect.
How are they playing, though? I haven't seen any of their footy,
There's a real lack of freedom.
Right.
And you, to an extent, you can't coach that. You can encourage the players to play with freedom, but unless they are of sound body and mind to go out and complete that task, it doesn't happen. And North Melbourne at the minute, they're the complete opposite end of the spectrum. They're just going out and just, let's play footy. If we bugger it up, we bugger it up. But
North
if we don't,
come good.
They've come really good, which is, it's good for footy, really. And now that not only is the race for the eight heating up, there's four or five teams who can still play finals.
We can't, North.
No.
Mathematically, I just did the sums on it. It's actually over for us.
There's four. So if you win eight of your next four,
we'll get it.
Which would be good. Which would be 3.5 wins more than you have at this point after.
It sure would be.
But the race for the wooden spoons also starting to tighten up. North Melbourne had it absolutely sewn up at the halfway mark. But now Hawthorn have sort of fallen into calculations as well.
Classic Hawthorn, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
To beat us to the wooden spoon.
Well, yeah. So the North Melbourne, I think, play Adelaide in the last round of the year.
Yeah.
And the Tigers out of the last four games, which are probably their only two winnable options, all things equal. I know that there's been a few upsets.
While we're talking about Hawthorn, very emotional Alistair Clarkson through the week.
You know, I love that sort of stuff.
So do I. You don't see enough of it in footy.
I think far too often we forget that there's the human element to football. And we all sit here, and me being in the media now as well, being a part of conversations where you sit there and you just have your opinion on coaches. You know, will he stay, which is essentially questioning his integrity as a bloke and he stands for. And after everything you do in the game, people are still just happy to shoot you down, shoot from the hip, run with whatever. So there's no real integrity or warrant or merit to some of the conversations and opinions that are had.
No.
And there's no doubt that that filters back to him. You hear all the stuff. If there's enough noise around you, you hear the stuff. And
well, what was so lovely, I thought, was that what tipped him was when he started to talk about his partner.
Yeah, well, that's what sort of gets everyone, isn't it?
When you really get close to home and you're talking about your kids or your partner, that's usually when blokes unravel.
And the fact that you have to almost come out and front the media and draw a correlation between football and then life and loss in the terms of speaking of death with family members, I think is not great that he was forced to almost be in that position in the first place, because football is one part of your life, yes, and it's a great part. We all love it.
Mm.
But there's much, much more going on in the world and in life than just football. We need to make that very clear, that there's a person behind Alistair Clarkson who is a great man of great integrity.
Yeah.
Obviously had a lot go on in his life that he hasn't shared publicly before.
Yeah.
So just every now and then it's probably a good reminder just to pump the brakes and put it all in perspective.
Beautifully said.
Steam me away for some winners, please.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you want that as well?
Yeah, come on.
Here it is.
Here we go.
Winners. A win here and a win there. And losers.
We don't do
the losers anymore.
Unless you want to.
No, we can if you want.
You do what you want.
Do some losers.
We were just talking off air about the Australia v. Ireland.
Bubble boy just popping up in the corner on a laptop.
Yeah, he's in ICU.
Like that remote learning they do in Japan when the student comes in on the iPad.
We were talking off air about the international series. Who was it? Was it Johnson who absolutely nearly
Johnson.
Killed one of those Irish blokes?
The Johnson brothers and the Scott brothers, I think. Was it the Scott brothers as well?
Scott brothers. There's only one Johnson, Chrissy.
It was Chris about 04. Johnson.
I remember it was at the Telstra Dome.
He nearly killed that Irish
Well, maybe they were the Bash brothers then, from Johnson from the Lions, and the Scott boys as well went absolutely bunter. And almost the series didn't go ahead. I played a couple of years after that, and the riot act we were read in terms of if any fight was to start, you do not do anything.
Yeah. Because it was getting a bit ridiculous.
Well, it was, but I think the Irish boys understood that that's the predicament we were in. So there was a fair bit of...
So they carried on
a little bit of shenanigans going on with us, some studs to the shins and trying to
bit of leprechaun
here.
Yes. The plucky little Irish. It was a bit like watching the twos run out, though, wasn't it? Because they were about 62 kilos ringing wet, those blokes.
They are fast. I'll tell you what, they kick that round ball like nothing. It's hard to do, kick a round ball straight.
Yeah.
And they're very, very good at it.
Oh, they were amazing at it.
Yes. Anyway, not the point of this story. Winners and losers.
Winners and losers. What do you got, Daisy?
Well, I don't really know, because as you pointed out, I wrote it down in highlighter today. Which,
what did you like?
Has
Melbourne
got
Bulldogs?
A UV light?
Yeah. You know, it's like you've written in invisible ink.
Well, I'm just concerned you're stealing my notes. So the Dogs and the D's, that was the big one, top of the table clash. And the Dogs, how good were they?
Yes.
Unbelievable getting the job done. And I love the fact, so my first winner is the Dogs, but also Luke Beveridge.
Yes.
The coach. Really good coaching performance. Went in with four tools. We know how good Melbourne's defence are. Lever May, Petty stepping in now. So he went with the four big boys, and they were accountable for one of them each, essentially. They separated them so they couldn't get their intercept game going, and then, which was a masterstroke. But then Alex Keith, who's a defender for the Dogs, he went down early. So one of those big forwards then went back, took his spot in Shacky, and he played an unbelievable game. So they were really, really good. And look,
What did you think of Melbourne?
I'm certainly not alarmed yet.
No.
They gave the Doggies a bit of a touch-up earlier on in the year. So I think you go and review what you've done wrong there. I don't think they're playing their best football at the moment. I think they're having a little bit of a lull, but 4 weeks to go, I'm sure they'll start to tighten the screws a bit.
They'll finish top four, surely.
It's a bloody long year to be up and about.
Yeah. So, when as a player, when is the part of the year where you're just like,
this
Jesus,
is it.
This is it,
yeah,
is it?
Well, again, like humans, just general folk who go to work, middle of July.
Sucks.
Cold, crap, 8 degrees.
Yeah,
sun up from
Let's
7,
go down
sun
the
down
bay.
At 5. Yeah, correct. You've lost a couple in a row and they decide to spring a sea bath session on you and you get to go for a swim around the pole. It's brilliant. You find your nuts in about a month. The second winner was the Giants.
Yes.
Found themselves inside the eight, and that is exciting because they're inside the eight. They're 2 points clear, but there is Essendon, Fremantle, Richmond and St Kilda still all in the chasing pack, only a game out.
It'd be nice if St Kilda could creep into the eight, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be.
It'd be good for the club.
It would be. And like, they've had an 111-point loss this season, an 80-point loss and a 70-point loss. So very rarely do you find a team that's had that sort of up and down form line, yeah. get it right and turn it around. So
their percentage would be pretty awful.
86.9. You rarely see a team in the 80s still in finals contention this late, do you?
If you say so.
It's good. It was a good stat. Will.
Yeah, I'm not the numbers guy, Will. I'm the field guy. I'm the footballer. Yeah. You can crunch the numbers in
there. I loved your beverage stuff, actually. That's the sort of stuff that your average punter kind of is aware of, but you know, you don't
just
really
can't quite put the finger on it.
Yeah, it's like, what's going on here?
Well, that's what I'm here for. And in that game, the biggest winner of the week, I'm not sure if you saw this little kid, young man, Cody Waitman.
No.
Blonde hair, looks a little bit like a young D. Thomas, and took an absolute hanger
screamer
on Maxi Gawn on the wing, like almost a la Warwick Kappa.
Well, if you get up onto Maxi, you're halfway there.
Well, he got up and Max sort of, because he sort of felt something on him that wasn't as big as him, almost shrugged him, which made the mark look so much better. Because he ended up parallel to the
horizontal
ground. Yeah, whichever one you want to go. Parallel lines.
Both horizontal. Work. Both work.
Daisy, controversial. I reckon Isaac Heaney's mark was better over the weekend.
Daisy, shut the laptop.
Yes.
Okay. Not listening to any of that from Will.
Tune in tomorrow for Will's winners.
Yeah. You've crossed the line, Will. We've talked to you about that. Yeah, no. I haven't seen either of them because I just made it Olympics this weekend.
Yeah,
I just went out, nuts out, Olympics.
That's an interesting way to watch it. Was it good? I haven't seen a whole lot of it. I saw a little bit of the surfing.
The swimming was good.
I saw the highlights of the swimming, which was fantastic.
Jess Fox was good.
The girls winning the
relay.
Yes.
Jess Fox in the canoeing.
The slalom canoe. Yeah. I saw that,
and
yeah.
And the kayak.
Yeah.
What else did I like over the weekend?
I'll tell you what's important.
The water polo, the Aussie water polo
now,
boys.
Now, that's a dirty sport.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
They're always pulling them down.
The gymnastics is phenomenal, though.
Unbelievable.
As a bloke who can barely walk in a straight line, watching them do flips onto that little bar.
Unbelievable.
Beam. Absolutely incredible. So it's a nice reminder just to us common folk, just how common we are now and how much these people are genuine overachievers.
And their kids, those gymnasts.
Yeah.
Like if most of them are like under 18, aren't they, Loz?
I don't think your mic's not on there.
Will, can you come back in? This is
you almost got to talk when Daisy's here.
Hang on, do you want me to run this one over?
Come up here. We haven't got you plugged in because Will's at home. His microphone is
Loz is our gymnastics expert. Jump on she used to coach there. Gymnastics.
Well, unless I see a full half double backflip
there
pike.
There is a 46-year-old gymnast at this Olympics.
Are you joking?
I'm not joking.
Oh.
It's her 8th Olympics.
And what is her specialty? Cleaning out the change rooms?
Supervisor?
I don't know.
What country is she from?
She is...
How old is she? 46.
Her name's Oksana Chustavina.
That sounds good. With her. Oksana.
How old did you say she is? 46.
46.
And she's been to 8 Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So does that mean she started...
32.
Yeah, she started when she was 14. 14.
Mm. She's from Uzbekistan.
Uzbekistan.
So it's probably safe to say the talent pool there of young gymnasts isn't great.
I'd say 46-year-olds making the team. I'd say there's actually nobody else doing gymnastics.
Thank you, David Thomas.
Thanks very much for having me. Have a great week, guys.
Chat to you next week.